We read the word of God from James 1, beginning at verse 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man works not the righteousness of God. Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, or how would you translate that? How would you understand that superfluity of naughtiness? All the deceitfulness of naughtiness, you could say. Lay that aside. And receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholds himself and goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. If any man among you seem to be religious and bridles not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction, and to keep himself unspotted from the world. I also would think it's good that we would read from our Reformed Confessions from the Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 10, in connection with Thanksgiving. And it's the Lord's Day about providence. Let me read question and answer 27 and 28, page 38 in the back of the Psalter. What do you mean by the providence of God? And the Christian answers, the almighty and everywhere present power of God, whereby, as it were, by his hand, he upholds and governs heaven, earth, and all creatures, so that herbs and grass, rain and drought, fruitful and barren years, meat and drink, health and sickness, riches and poverty, yea, and all things come not by chance, but by his fatherly hand. Next question, what advantage is it to us to know that God has created and by his providence does still uphold all things? Answer, that we may be patient in adversity, thankful in prosperity, and that in all things which may hereafter befall us, we place our firm trust in our faithful God and Father, that nothing shall separate us from his love, since all creatures are so in his hand that without his will they cannot so much as move. A beautiful confession of faith, trusting God in all our ways. Blessed Thanksgiving Day to you all, also visitors, all who are here with us. It's a great privilege that as we have this Thanksgiving Day, that we as Christian Church may come together to especially express our thanks and thanksgiving to God. For we confess as Christians, don't we, that from him all blessings flow. That doesn't mean it's always easy to be thankful. Some of you also this past year have gone through trials and disappointments. Some of you are still going through that. But let's look at Scripture and learn reasons to be most thankful to God. And I invite you to turn with me again then to James 1, verse 16 to 18. And here James has been writing to Christians who are persecuted for the faith and who deal with the daily challenges of life that are common on this side of heaven. And he writes this, "Do not err, my beloved brethren, every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Of his own will begat he us, or brought he us forth, with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures." Notice with me from this text, what is true thankfulness from a Christian perspective, regardless our circumstances. Learn with me from this text reasons for so much gratitude and thanksgiving to the Lord. Maybe your circumstances today make it hard to feel thankful. But let this gospel word lift you up, that you too may have thankful praise to the Lord this Thanksgiving Day 2018. Can you find 10 reasons, just following the text, to be so thankful to God this morning? Reason one, for thankfulness is the call of God's word to us: do not err. Do not be deceived. The way it's written in the original, the implication is that the people were beginning to think and conclude wrongly. That is, they were beginning to stray from right paths of living in thankful trust and devotion to the Lord. And we are all prone to wander, aren't we, left to ourselves? We are all prone so easy to falter and to fail and to follow after sinful thoughts, words, and deeds. But thanks be to God. His word exhorts us, do not err. Do not go the wrong way. Do not be deceived. Are you not thankful for parents when they say to you, don't touch that hot stove. Stay away from alcohol and drugs. Don't get involved in relationships that will only draw you away from God and from His church. Don't go to places where you'll be tempted to do what's foolish and wrong. Do not err, writes James, in God's name, to Christians in his day, tried and struggling believers with many challenges of evil, both from within themselves and from around them, not least from Satan and this ungodly world. Thank God for every warning, also for us today. Also for the covenant seed, the up-and-coming generation, living in the perilous times we do. Do not fall for Satan and his tricks. Do not become ensnared with sin and this world's wicked pleasures and empty treasures. Do not err. Oh, thanks be to God for only wanting the best for us and warning us for our good, not once, but time and again. Are you thankful for the Bible's earnest warnings to us? Or are you living despising His warnings, careless and carefree in sin? Oh, let's listen to James 1:16, won't you? Do not err means do not be deceived. Do not be led astray. Also in our day, one commentator wrote, present within us, also within us as true Christians, is the great and inescapable foe of progress with God and subtle insinuating power of our sinful and fallen nature. How good God is then, don't you agree? Always wanting to lead us in right ways and promoting ways that lead to fullness of life, to keep us from wrong ways that lead to death and even to hell. Are you thankful this day for the words of Holy Scripture to us? Do not err. Reason number two to be so thankful is seeing how God's people are addressed in Scripture. How does James speak of the people of God, writing in God's name? My beloved brethren, he says. Yes, even when they are wavering in faith, James calls them in Jesus' name, my beloved brethren. You know, we live in a world where there's lots of poisonous relationships, lots of poisonous, hateful words towards each other, even in family life. What a blessing of the loving terms that God will have us be known by. You know, in the family and church of God, there is a bond of love and care for one another that you cannot find anywhere else in this whole wide world. The fellowship of believers and the communion of saints and love for the brethren is a gift and grace of God unlike anything, anywhere on this side of heaven. The rich love and care for one another among God's people, especially too from God Himself towards us, is so precious, so special. Let's be thankful. Are you thankful for it? In the Song of Solomon, the bride so delights in the love of her bridegroom. And it's a picture and description of the love of God towards His people, which He will have us show between each other. Jesus is God's only begotten most beloved son, but his people become his adopted children, most beloved children, all for Jesus' sake alone. And to be among the beloved brethren of the people of God is reason for boundless thanksgiving to God, wouldn't you say? The Bible tells us of the most caring, loving God, infinitely loving towards his people, as many as trust and follow him. God so loved the world, we read, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What a treasure. John 3:16. Does God, addressing Christians in James' day and still today, as my beloved brethren, fill your heart with joy and thanksgiving today? Think of what we deserve as sinners and rebels before God by nature. He could call us cursed and enemies of God. But in Christ, he calls us his beloved ones. What a precious truth. Reason number three to be so thankful, as found in our text. Notice how the text mentions every good and perfect gift comes down from above in our lives. Literally, you could even translate the word, the text to say, every good giving and every perfect gift comes from above. And the point is, from God comes everything that's good in our lives. Yes, not only in regards to our material and physical needs, but also especially in regards to our spiritual and emotional and mental and eternal needs. The Lord gives us everything that is good for us and holds nothing back. He gives inexhaustibly and incredibly, just as required and more. His gifts are perfectly designed for our good, and his blessings with a perfect design and purpose for our true and ultimate well-being. There is no giver of good and precious gifts like the Lord himself for his people. God is good and the overflowing source of all good. In James 1 verse 4, we are told of God's aim with his people, with all that happens in our lives, that you may be perfect and entire or complete, wanting or lacking nothing. And God's endless, boundless supply of his good giving and perfect gifts for us in all our needs will lead us to this experience and to this point, even eternally so, being complete. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want, is what the scriptures teach. And this is what the text informs us about now and how we should be thankful, shouldn't we? Also for this, for all the blessings he gives us that we may enjoy in life. If we could just add up the countless blessings and privileges so freely and bountifully given us and provided for us day by day and week after week and year after year, would that not give each one of us so much reason for thankfulness? Also, yes, this Thanksgiving service together here. You know, sadly and tragically, how many on this Thanksgiving Day, even before great, elaborate meals, have no thought of God and do not look to him and do not recognize him as the giver of all the good things we may enjoy. Do you today acknowledge God is the giver of every good gift and every perfect gift also in your life and in your family and in your circumstances and in your needs, whatever they are? Also this day. Notice another aspect of thankfulness from a Christian perspective. Reason four from our text for thankfulness to God. The text says that every good and perfect gift comes down from above. It tells us God is looking down from heaven to this earth. To this earth so full of sin and misery, seeking still to show mercies and blessings for us in this life. God triune doesn't have to look down to this earth, especially considering mankind's rebellion and defiance and disobedience before him. But God is gracious and good, In Psalm 113 we read, "Who is like unto the Lord our God, who dwells on high, who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He raises up the poor out of the dust. He lifts the needy out of the dunghill, that he may set him with princes, even with the princes of his people. He makes the barren woman to keep house and to be a joyful mother of children. Praise ye the Lord." In the Greek, in James 1:17, the phrase about the gifts from above coming down is in a present active participle, meaning it describes an unending succession of good gifts coming down from heaven above to people like us. James is saying, by God's Spirit, to Christians in his day and for our day, as the songwriter put it, when upon life's billows you are tempest-tossed, when you are discouraged, thinking all is lost, count your many blessings. Every doubt will fly, and you will be singing as the days go by. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God has done. Count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your many blessings, see what God has done. Someone wrote about James 1:17, quote, "How badly I needed to be corrected and refreshed by this scripture." Maybe the same is true for you this Thanksgiving Day, 2018, for whatever reason. Consider our theme, thankfulness from a Christian perspective, as taught in James 1:16-18. Yes, for notice, the passage gives another reason, reason number 5, for true thankfulness to God. The blessings from above are from whom? From God, yes. But what is the title given here for God in the text? Every good and every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father, the text declares. Imagine this, God as our Father. This is a distinctly Christian teaching on God. You know that, right? Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 1, verse 2 and 3, to the Christians in Corinth, "Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort." Jesus, in teaching his disciples to pray, says we are to pray after this manner, saying, "Our Father who art in heaven." God as our Father, here in the text, speaks of God being most tender, compassionate, understanding, caring, and providing for his people. Jesus as God's only begotten Son, as sin bearer and substitute for sinners, we know he was forsaken of God his Father as he bore the eternal wrath of God on sinners' behalf, that we might know him as our Savior, and God as our Father. Also now in all the trials and tears and stresses and strains of life, something James acknowledges Christians go through as well, we may run to God, may we not? Crying, "Abba, Father," when we don't understand his ways. Also in this past year, in things that happened in our lives, we may run to him and say, "Abba, Father." And we may know his welcome, and his love, and his help, and his strength. I think here of even the farmers in Alberta, at least those north of Calgary at this time. They can't get their crops off their fields with the wet weather we've been having and now the snow. And they're in trouble. From a human perspective, many of the farmers north of us this year will experience more harvest loss than harvest gain. And that's hard. But looking to the Lord and calling on him as Father, is there not reason yet for comfort and thanksgiving still? You know, in the book of Habakkuk, way back, Habakkuk the prophet in chapter 3, verse 17 to 19, you know what he writes in true faith in God, the provider in all needs, when they went through rough times, when they were experiencing war and great trial and setback? He writes, "Although the fig tree shall not blossom, neither shall fruit be in the vines, The labor of the olives shall fail, and the field shall yield no meat. The flocks shall be cut off from the fold, and there shall be no herd in the stalls. Yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, and he will make my feet like hinds' feet, and he will make me to walk upon mine high places, to the chief singer on my stringed instruments. You can see here and here so full of praise and thanksgiving still, in spite of difficult and trying circumstances. I think of those of you who had hoped to be having a child, but who lost a child before the child was given to be born. The Lord took him or her to glory. And it's sad, but can you not yet be thankful that the Father knows all things, and that the child is now in the Father's care? And cannot the Father still provide for you in the future in his mercy and love and power? Can you not bring it all to him and trust him also for that? Christian thanksgiving isn't dependent on our circumstances, but on relationship with God in Christ, knowing the Lord as our dear Heavenly Father in all our needs and in all our ways, and with all our tears and with all our sorrows. And God truly will be the dear Heavenly Father of all who repent of sin and trust in him as only Savior and Lord. Is that you and me today, dear congregation of the Lord? Isn't this reason to be so very thankful today that we may call on God as Father? The tender love a father has for all his children dear, such love the Lord bestows on them who worship him in fear. This is what we may sing from Psalter 278, based on Psalm 103. And who can measure the worth of such refuge and comfort, having God as our Father in heaven? But notice immediately, with this reason, number 6 from our text, to be so thankful. What is further said about God as Father? It's beautiful. He is referred to as what? As the Father of lights. What does that mean, you ask? Well, think here of God being the creator of all the bodies of light in the universe. We read in Genesis that just with the word, God created light on the first day, speaking it in existence. And then on the fourth day, he created the bearers of light, the sun, moon, and stars. In the whole realm of nature, there are zillions of points of light stemming from God and maintained and guided by God from the first week of creation to the present day and till the last day. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We read in 1 John 1, verse 5b. Now think of this. It is God, the Father of lights, that showers good and perfect gifts from above down to us. The opposite of light is darkness. We know too, as darkness often represents evil and what is harmful and not good for us, so light reflects all what is good and right and blessed for us. And God as Father of lights, he is the one who is our giver and provider of every good and perfect gift from day to day and night to night. What reasons to be thankful to him, especially expressing our thanksgiving to him as the Father of lights. And I just love it that it's in the plural. He's the Father of light, but he's also the Father of lights. Yes, because thinking of God as Father of lights, we know Scripture means that not only as Creator God is he Father of lights, but also especially spiritually and morally. As one put it, there is only goodness in God and no evil at all. God in Christ shows and proves himself as the overflowing fountain of all good. The Father of lights gave his Son to be the light of the world. When Jesus was here on earth, Peter testified of him. He went about always doing good, seeking and saving sinners, body and soul, from all sin and shame and guilt and condemnation. God, the Father of lights, is in indescribable measure sending his own Son to redeem sinners like us from the darkness and the doom of sin, Satan, death, and hell. On the cross, you know, let's never forget it, Jesus suffered and endured the punishment for sin we deserve as the one and only Savior of sinners. And that meant for him he had to enter darkness. The darkness and damnation of being a sinner in a sinner's place. And being forsaken as a just for the unjust as he paid the wages of sin fully for all his people whom God had given to him. Oh God, triune, is the Father of lights in the way of creation and recreation in and through Christ Jesus. Outside of him and union with Christ by true faith, we remain in darkness. And we are headed for the place described by Jude where there's only blackness of darkness forever. But will any among us so live and die? God forbid. Hear rather the gospel word even of John 8 verse 12 where Jesus says of himself, listen, I am the light of the world. He that follows me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. What reasons to pay attention to Christ the Savior as revealed to us in Scripture. For consider still more reasons in our text for thanksgiving to God today. Reason number 7, for unending thankfulness to God today is what the text further says about the God who is the Father of lights. And that is, praise God, he never changes. He's always reliable and steadfast in his ways. He's the covenant faithful God from generation to generation. How does James put it? God is the Father of lights with whom is no variableness, meaning no variation from his revelation, neither shadow of turning. God is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. He's not like the shifting, changing realities we meet with every day and night. We read in Malachi 3 verse 6, God declaring and pledging to his people, I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. God is not, as false teachers suggest also today and promote, some changing, relativistic, unpredictable God. No, he is as described in his word and as he reveals himself in his word and in his person and work of Christ. He does not change like shifting shadows. His goodness is always at high noon, so to speak, ever reliable and steadfast from generation to generation. He changes not. How encouraging this is. As one Christian wrote about God being unchanging, immutable, I'm thinking of A.W. Pink in his excellent little book on the attributes of God. I believe we have copies of it in the book rack. If you've never read it, it's well worth reading. He says about God's immutability, the Lord cannot change for the better because he's already perfect. And being perfect, he cannot change for the worse either. Altogether unaffected by anything outside of himself, improvement or deterioration is impossible with him. He is perpetually the same. He only can say and always will say, I am that I am. Exodus 3 verse 14. His power can never diminish, nor his glory ever fade. However unstable I may be, however fickle my friends may prove, God changes not. All praise, says Pink, to his glorious name. He is ever the same. His purpose is fixed. His will is stable. His word is sure. And his dominion is guaranteed. Here then, he writes, is a rock on which we may fix our feet while the mighty torrents of change are sweeping away and around us so fast and furious. The permanence of God guarantees the fulfillment of all his promises and also of his warnings. You may know that song, Abide With Me, has this little line, change and decay in all around I see. O thou who changest not, abide with me. Praise God, he changes not. Also in the 21st century, you can rely on him as described in God's word and in Christ. Well, do you see reasons for thankfulness to God today? Considering our text passage, James 1, 16 to 18, we have still have reasons 8, 9, and 10 to mention, and they are all found in verse 18. Verse 18 is like the climax of all the good James would say of God. As you and I here and now have to battle with sin and evil still from within and around us. How striking that as James will give just one example of God the Father of lights who changes not, James then highlights God triune working to bring the light of the gospel in people's hearts and lives. Do you see that? Notice how James speaks of God's regenerating work by his Holy Spirit in the hearts of sinners like us. What does he say? Of his own will, he begat us, or he brought us forth. That's what he testifies. And he's speaking here of the Holy Spirit regenerating work in sinners' lives. A new start, a new birth, a transformation of life comes in us and for us always only from the Lord. When we are saved, we are to thank God for his undeserved mercy and almighty power to change us from within, giving us new hearts in place of our sinful, stony hearts by nature. Of his own will, we read, begat he us, brought he us forth, meaning salvation is of the Lord from beginning to end. You believe that too, right? When you are converted and a Christian today, it's because of God's grace in your life and mine. Praise be to him for his amazing grace to save a sinner like you and me. Of his own will, he begat us. That is reason 8 for thankfulness to God on the part of God's people. Reason number 9 for thankfulness is that the Lord works regeneration and leads in the way of true conversion to Christ. How? By his word. You see that? That's what James says. Of his own will begat he us through the word of truth. Through the gospel ministry. On the basis of the word. Oh, how we can be ever so thankful, can't we? Shouldn't we be? For the Holy Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We read in Romans 10, 17. In 1 Peter 1, verse 23 to 25, the Apostle Peter states that sinners like you and me are born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible. By the word of God, which lives and abides forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower fades away, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you. Dear congregation, we have the Bible. Many copies even, don't we? And we still are blessed, aren't we, with the regular preaching of the gospel. And we have so many gospel privileges, don't we, for learning and growing in the word. What reason to be so very thankful? As it is by the word that the Spirit works regeneration and faith and repentance and leads in the way everlasting in our lives for us and our children. Shouldn't we be so thankful that even in today's Thanksgiving service, the word is open to us. And we are being taught from out of it to be thankful. And a Christian perspective on thankfulness, regardless of our circumstances. So many in our country, you wouldn't believe it, never mind across the world, do not know, nor even have, the Bible. They're not privileged with Christian family and life and Christian education and Christian church life with the word constantly being brought. God's ultimate goodness is shown here on earth in giving salvation to sinners like us through the word of truth. The gospel is called, as we said the other day in confession class, good tidings of great joy and glad tidings of good things. Do you own scripture as such? And do you agree? Oh, how thankful we should, may be and should be for God's gospel word of truth, even now again today, here in this Thanksgiving Day service. Then the tenth and the last reason for thankfulness that we should have and may have before God, looking at verses 16 to 18 of James 1, is the clear fact of purpose and meaning in life that God gives his people and leads them in. That we should be, we read, a kind of first fruits of his creatures. All that this means is that God blesses his people that they might live fruitful and God-honoring, purposeful lives, neighbor-blessing lives. Life is not meaningless and empty nothing when God is your and my guide and the Savior, Lord of our life. No, then whether younger or older, male or female, married or unmarried, and whatever our talents and gifts, God gives his people purpose and calling in life, meaning that we live to his glory and that we live seeking to be a blessing to others, to his praise. There's so much fruitful, happy, productive living when joined to Christ and living and dying in his service by his grace and spirit and word. On the other hand, how meaningless life is apart from God and his counsel and his word. The rest of the book of James, even the rest of chapter 1, wonderfully brings out how purposeful life becomes when we live by faith and when our faith shows in our works. Well, we need to stop, and let us, in stopping, just be thankful for the Christian perspective briefly shown on living gratefully before God and our neighbor, just looking at these three verses for a few moments. Our text passage, we can say, is like a recipe for thankfulness and thanksgiving in our lives, just meditating on the 10 great blessings of God found in James 1, 16 to 18. These verses can fill the hearts of God's people with overflowing thanksgiving and joy, even in times of overwhelming grief and trial and affliction. God help us then live thankful lives. And as Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. If you feel you can't be thankful or hardly want to be, read and reread James 1, verse 16 to 18, and with that scripture, blessed of God to your mind and heart, you will have and you will find boundless and endless reasons to skip with joy and to be filled with thankfulness to God and before your neighbor. Even so, may God bless this Thanksgiving meditation and lead us in true thankfulness now and forevermore. In Jesus' name, amen.